The Justin Robert Young Program is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports the show at patreon.com/JURY. Look, if you want to be on the team that is winning all the games, which you do, we're winning all the games. I mean, maybe not financially. I mean, certainly not culturally. And we're far, far, far behind when it comes to viewership. But you want to know what? In our hearts, we're winning all the games in our hearts. That's what you can do when you support patreon.com/JURY. Again, patreon.com/JURY. Support me in my independent journey to survive. And Jesus Christ, if you would look at my taxes this year, you would know that that is a problem. It's hard out here for an independent podcaster. Go ahead and kick me a few shekels, if you will. All you guys getting a tax return. Patreon.com/JURY. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Ladies and gents, clear out the vents. It's the Justin Robert Young Show joining you, as always, on a Tuesday afternoon here in lovely Oakland, California. My name is Justin Robert Young. It ain't just a clever name on the front of the store. No, no, no. This is really who I am. And we got quite a bit for you here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a man on the loose with a very identifying mark. I had a weird dream, and we're going to read a dream dictionary about it. And one of my favorite things to do here on the show, journalism gripes, including an old offender. We're going to go into an old offender and just show you why sometimes people don't have a tremendous amount of love for the profession of journalism. We might also dip back into that lurid, heartbreaking world of dating trends a little bit later. But let's start with this news story. Anyway, this one is actually, from Fox News. Fox News reports. Fox News alert. Man, I used to love. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just, it was in that post 9/11 world where like everything was a Fox News alert. I watched a lot of Fox News. In fact, when I was in college, I don't know. One of my favorite things to do is I used to get back from the newspaper really, really late. And I it was like really late, like three o'clock in the morning. And I would get home, and my roommate was also a night owl. He was an artist, and he'd be up, We'd get like really high and watch the O'Reilly Factor. Like, I don't know if that was the key demo for Fox News. This is before Red Eye, long before Red Eye was a thing. But we were the Red Eye demo. Like, it was literally, for whatever reason, we would get really high and we would watch the O'Reilly Factor. We were like regular viewers of the Factor, the no spin zone. Because it was something about being, like, you know, up really, really late that made it a very funny and compelling show to watch, because everybody was taking things, like, so seriously, and you were just kind of punch drunk and high. And you're just like, man, look at this guy. This guy's going crazy over here. He's just, like, he's so fired up and, like, people are, like, you know, like, arguing with each other, and he's giving people the last word. And then he's going to yell something else over top of it. Man. I don't know. I have fond memories of that. Anyway, this has nothing to do with Bill O'Reilly, but it is on the Fox News website. FBI seeking fugitive with a dork tattoo on his neck. So this is a look at this guy. And I will say this. For a man with a dork tattoo on his neck and several face tattoos, including one that appears to be where a goatee would be, he has a very bemused mugshot. He is looking at the mugshot with a very, like, not a smile, but a, like, really? Come on, guys. Here's the story. The FBI needs help finding this dangerous dork, quote unquote. The law enforcement agency reiterated its call Thursday for help finding a warranted man with the word prominently tattooed across his neck. Sean Frederick Weatherhead, described as being a transient with ties to Eugene, Oregon, Reno, Nevada, is accused of making violent threats against law enforcement agencies and should be considered armed and dangerous. He's also accused of allegedly contacting the FBI's public access line and offices around 1,000 times since December 2015. And in at least 3 of the calls, making threats to kill people. The U.S. District Court in California issued a federal warrant for him in October after he was charged with interstate communication, a threat to injure the person of another. Threat to injure the person of another? That's got to be a typo. An FBI wanted poster said the former tattoo artist... Oh, Jesus, really? I mean, are you surprised or upset that he's a tattoo artist when he has such shitty tattoos? I don't know. I got to talk to my buddy who's a tattoo artist to find out whether or not... All right, here. Let me ask you guys. I don't know if I have any tattoo artists that are listening. In general, you were to round up all the tattoo artists in the world, right? Would you say that if you were to sample the artistic ability of all the tattoo artists of all levels, would you say that there are more bad tattoo artists or more good tattoo artists? ICU kind of has my drift here. Where do you think shitty tattoos from? Are the majority of tattoo artists shitty tattoo artists, I guess, is my question. Because it seems to me, just by being around people, that there are a shit ton of crappy tattoos. And I've always been baffled by, like, how many tattoo parlors there are. Because it seems like a tattoo is something that you buy, I mean, maybe about as often as, like, a TV, right? Like, you don't get one often. So, like, the good tattoo artists have to charge a lot. And yes, I know this is Stephanie Ray CA in the chat room has the point that, you know, we should be blaming the we should be blaming the people who are asking for the shitty tattoos and not necessarily the artists that are giving people shitty tattoos. But I got to ask my buddy. I got to ask Mondo. My buddy Mondo is a tattoo artist. He's great. But I got to ask. But, I mean, is it shock anybody that this dude is, like, got such... He's got dork on his neck and... So if you have his whereabouts, contact your local FBI office. Again, if you see somebody with dork tattooed on his neck. Or maybe you would just be looking for the man with the very conspicuous turtleneck. You think he'd just be running around looking like fucking Steve Jobs, right? Or some barista? Tell you what, if I were him, I'd go full fucking turtleneck and a beret. Just pretend I'm a beatnik. Please be on the lookout for the rogue beatnik who was making threats to the FBI. Yeah, he would have to be wearing a hat that's really, really low, because that dude has, like, this bizarre, like, horn tattoo on his face that kind of goes up into his receding, his, like, cul-de-sac hairline here. So we'd have to be wearing, like, maybe one of those, like, really deep cowboy hats. So you would be looking for somebody with a turtleneck and a cowboy hat hanging damn near to the bridge of his nose. What would you get? I don't know what I would get tattooed on my neck. I don't have any tattoos. I can't imagine what I would like so much that I would want to get tattooed on my neck. Let alone something that would, like, be words. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably be a whore about it and, like, put my Twitter handle. I'd get at Justin R. Young tattooed on my neck. And I would hope to God, man, I'd be so locked into Twitter, I would never talk shit about Twitter again. I'd be like, you want to know what? I think Twitter did a great job with our democracy. I think at Jack is doing a fine job, ladies and gentlemen, and it's about time we gave him some space. I just get hashtag nailed it on my neck. All right, yeah, you're right. I should get patreon.com/JURY. I should set that up as a Patreon goal. If I get to $5,000 an episode, I'll tattoo patreon.com/JURY on my neck. Yeah, you know, I could do a Dr. Bird one. Somebody points that out. Stephanie Ray CA in the chat points out. I could get some kind of a Dr. Bird doing stuff. Hold on, wait. We got a call here coming in. Hello, who's this?
Wow, this is great. This is Kevin, longtime listener, first time caller, Jury. How are you doing,
Kevin? Whereabouts on the planet Earth are you calling us from?
Oh, just south of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
South of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Lovely town. I always had a good time in Ann Arbor, Michigan. All right, sir. Well, what's on your mind here?
Hey, just wanted to see if you had any thoughts about the Craigslist taking casual encounters off of their entire site because of a new federal regulation.
So, yeah, if you're unaware of this, people, there is a new federal regulation that the writers of the law say this is not the point, but it was pushed back against fiercely by sites like Craigslist because it... Now you are able to blame the site if there is any kind of, like, child trafficking on it, right? Do I have that correct? I'm just trying to freestyle remember what the story was about. But is that a fair assessment as you understand it?
Yeah, that's correct. And so some people were using Casual Encounters for that. Some people were using it, obviously, just to hook up with.
I would say probably most people probably using it as a place to just get their very legal jollies off. But
yeah, I mean, I used it all the time to meet real old women, like, you know, like 30s, 40s, 50s. So I'm a little disappointed about it.
Wait, all right. So hold on. Number one, I think that it is a shame. There should be a legal provision carved out that there should be some kind of safe harbor. You know, at the very least, there should be some kind of maybe a strike system where repeat offenders can now face harsher penalties. But a site like Craigslist, which obviously handles so many different inquiries, should be able to prove that they are a good actor and be treated differently. But I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to talk about how you were cruising Casual Encounters for women. How old are you now?
I am 27.
27 years old. And when did you realize that the Craigslist Casual Encounters is a place for cougars?
Like 3 years ago, probably.
Now, was this something that you picked up on by yourself, or did you have a friend of yours tip you off?
No, I don't remember anyone tipping me off. In fact, it's something that I've kept more or less secret, but the anonymity of calling into your show, I don't have to, you know, keep it a secret from you, obviously.
Well, now, and apparently the good days are done, right? You know,
Well, they are, but there's a Reddit, there's a similar Reddit thread that I had less success on.
Yeah.
Usually what you'd find on Craigslist, which I have not found on Reddit, is older women, you know, 40s, 50s, that were married and just wanted to either talk or, you know, exchange photos or anything like that. And I was totally fine with that.
Yeah. So wait, all right. So walk me through this. A general way that this would go for you. So you would hit up Craigslist, and was there any kind of code that you were looking for, or did you get a sense of who to talk to initially?
No, I would always post, because if you look through the people that are posting on there, the women that are posting on there, they're either bots or they're looking for really weird stuff or money in exchange for sex. So I would always post, and then you'd sift through, I kid you not, like 500 or 600 spam emails or just random dudes that are like, hey, maybe you're gay too? And it's like, no, I think so. And so you'd have to find like the one or two women that responded that were real.
Thirsty ass gay dudes at Craigslist. Just fucking any port in a storm.
Every time, multiple guys would hit me up.
Multiple guys would cruise in and just be like, but also, huh? You ever thought about it? I mean, maybe in the public shower, taking a long glance?
That, or they'd do like, oh, hey, you know, I'm not gay or anything, but I'd love to do like a photo shoot with you. I run a company. Let's do a photo shoot. And I never did a photo shoot, but had that multiple times as well.
All right. So you would sort through the massive amount of cruft, and eventually what would be describe for me the initial approach of an older woman that would hit you up on Craigslist?
They'd usually start by saying something about like, I've never done this before. I can't believe I'm reaching out to someone on Craigslist, but a friend of mine told me they found a friends with benefits on Craigslist, and I've always thought about being with a younger guy. Like that was almost always
now,
the intro.
Is that what you would advertise? Like, would your post be like, hey, looking for a no strings attached, fuck relationship? Or was it just, hey, I'm a guy, what's up?
No, always the former, and always older women. And call me a piece of shit guy, but I would always mention that I like curvier women, we'll say.
Okay.
Like that's how I would put it in the post, because I noticed that a lot of them happen to be not overweight, right? But like maybe they were a little nervous about
T space
of their
H
body.
Space I space C space C space thick, right?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. All right, so you would put in looking for a casual sexual relationship with an older woman who may or may not be a Rubenesque.
Yep, Rubenesque would be a good term for it. Never used it, but yeah.
All right. So now all of a sudden, you get a few, and they would always be a little coy. Now, are you setting, if you get three emails, are you setting them all up at once? Are you like, all right, well, there's my Wednesday through Friday, or are you like narrowing it down to one to focus on?
No, of the, I'll say, like I said, I used it off and on for like the last 3 or 4 years. I only met up with maybe five or six. And it would be, one, I'd choose like the best one that I knew was like actually had a good head on her, like good chemistry and could talk dirty and definitely, was interested in fucking even though she had a husband.
Sure.
And I'll end with this because I don't want to get too far into it. The last one that I had, the last woman I had been with.
Yeah.
She had been married and she started getting cold feet. We went out for a couple drinks in a city that I'm not from, that she's from.
Okay.
She saw someone she knew while we were out. She couldn't even tell if the person had saw her, and she kind of was getting cold feet and was almost going to say something to her husband about, I've been having thoughts or I've been talking to this guy, and
yeah.
I really didn't want to be the guy that she, I never let any of them over to my house, but I didn't want to be the guy that got his ass kicked or killed over some random older woman that, was just cheating on her husband.
All right, wait, hold on a minute. Before you go, where did this normally go down? Would you go to a hotel or you go to their place?
Yeah, it was always their place. A couple of them had asked to come over to my place, and if they did that, I would sort of just make up a bunch of excuses as to why I couldn't. But really, I was just scared shitless of them having my address.
Yeah.
And either, getting caught or their husband. Because we'd always use Kick messaging app so that their text messages wouldn't show up on their bills because they were always, watched by the spouse usually.
Gotcha. Wow, this is a whole world that I was not aware of. Now, I mean, during any of this time, did you have a relationship yourself? Let's go ahead and take that as a yes and move on. All right, so that's fascinating, man. That is crazy. And now, were you watching this case like closely?
No. I wasn't. I had taken a break for the last couple months, and I have been single for the last couple months and just like not having a whole lot of fun or luck on, like Tinder and stuff. And I had went to post a couple nights ago and got the takedown notice. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, that was fun while it lasted.
Man, you were, so you said probably five times in the 3 years that you were doing it, 3 or 4 years.
I say I met up with about five women, but there were maybe dozens that you would just sext with and like and send photos. And then for whatever reason, we wouldn't meet up. Like usually I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Or I felt bad because I was dating someone at those times. So, yeah. Ended it prematurely for some of them and literally would just ghost them because I didn't feel bad. Like that's the awful part about Craigslist is it's like you can always get an instant hit of dopamine by putting up another post, having another woman send you photos of her tits and then never text her again onto the next one and just find the best one. It's, I feel really bad. I figured of all the people I could talk to this about, you would
no,
find this.
No, this is the reason why you have totally validated me just leaving the phone up the entire time for Jerry. This is, I am now, this is officially, made me fund Project Stargate for the next, year. Because if every once in a while I can randomly get somebody like you just pouring their heart about this and revealing an element of society that heretofore was unknown to me, then I am totally in awe. Man, all right, so one last question, I'll get you out of here.
All right.
If you were to estimate how many women sent you, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be unsolicited naked photos since you were asking to open up a relationship. But from that initial ask, sent you naked photos, how many women would you estimate over this period of several years sent you naked photos?
Close to 100, maybe.
100? Oh, my good God. This is... No wonder you're upset.
It's not phase six, and it's after... You have to put time into this. So I'd see guys post, and they'd be like, just looking to fuck tonight, or just looking to, you know, exchange photos or videos. But you have to put time in it to get the photos.
Yeah.
Like, you have to like, talk to them and get to know them over a day or two until you could get the photos. But, I'd say 100 or so.
100 or so. You put in a lot of time, man. That's, if you got to put in two days times 100.
It's easy when you don't like your job. When you don't like your job and you can spend all day just texting women, it's pretty easy.
I mean, I would assume that this would basically fill the time that I spend playing Hearthstone. Like, it's just something that
I'm playing Hearthstone right now. I would usually do both at the same time. Because, like, you'd watch all these fake ones, these bots, come in, and you just have to delete them, and then, you know, play your hand, and then end your turn, and then delete another 10, and then back and forth. I have a pretty shitty life now that I think about it. That's not a good way to spend the last 6 years, but it is what it is, man.
No. This is amazing. This is great, and I am so excited that you called in. And please, my friend, feel free. If there's any other bizarre world of 20-something sexual deviance that you would like to express here on the Jury Show, you now know the number. Please feel free to call in whenever you get a chance.
Will do, man. Glad I didn't say my name. Have a good show.
All right. Bye, James. Just kidding. I don't know if his name is James. It might be James. Wow. That was great. That was amazing. 200 naked photos. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, it shows you how much people do want to connect, though, you know? Like, and... Man, there's some lonely people out here. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? Apparently the old Craigslist personal section where they're sending Kevin naked photos. I had a weird dream the other night. I don't know how I'm going to follow that. That was a fucking amazing call. If you ever want to call in like that, please do. 510-404-8030. We start going live at 4 o'clock p.m. on Pacific time, that is 7 o'clock p.m. East Coast time. Man, and that if he said he is around Ann Arbor, that basically means he's only fucking around Ann Arbor and probably Detroit, right? I don't really know my Michigan all that well, but I do know that whenever I came to Ann Arbor, I had to fly into Detroit. So, huh, I'll tell you what, man. Detroit getting it on. Here's my weird dream. I had a dream that I fell asleep with a butcher knife on my belly. I have a little bit of a belly right now, and I had a butcher knife on it, and all of a sudden I had this dream. I was oddly okay with it. I was kind of surprised that how okay I was with it. I just had this butcher knife on my belly, and I just kept thinking in my dream, oh, man, I better not move it all that weird, or else I'm gonna cut myself. I woke up, and I was tweeting it because I thought it was a weird dream, and then I realized how much of it came off like a cry for help, like it was one of those... Like you're just trying to you're begging and pleading for people to, like, you know, call you and ask you if you're okay. I mean, it's basically like the PG version of cutting. Like I'm just like talking about, yeah, I'm dreaming about slicing my belly open. So I was talking about this in the pre-show, and I decided I was convinced to read about it because I could read a dream journal or sorry a dream dictionary. That gives you a list of what each item in your dream means. So here we go. This is a knife. This is according to dreammoods.com. Dreammoods com, their dream dictionary. This is what a knife in your dream means. To dream that you're carrying a knife signifies anger, aggression, or separation. There may be something in your life that you need to cut out or get rid of. Perhaps you need to cut ties or sever some relationship, be more divisive. Alternatively, a knife refers to some sexual tension or sexual confrontation. Oh. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's crazy. If the knife is dull, it denotes that hard work will result in little or no gain. To dream that you are wounded by a knife is symbolic of masculine or animalistic aggression. To see someone holding a knife in your dream suggests you lack control or power. And to see an electric knife in your dreams indicates that your power to get down to the truth of a situation quickly. An electric knife? Who the fuck dreams of an electric knife? And, like, are we talking about an electric knife, like a carving knife? Like one of those, like you would, like carve a turkey with? Or, like, an electric knife, like a butcher's knife that's electrified, like you're Electro or something like that. Is it, like your Ernest goes to jail after he goes into the electric chair? Huh. I mean, I guess the only one that really goes to mine is the... shit, I should take this person's number off the screen. Here we go. You're on the jury show.
Hey, Jerry, it's Skills Cat in the chat. I think I have a exact answer of what your dream meant.
Oh, okay. Hey, all right. So right now, the only thing that I think based on this dream dictionary is sexual tension or sexual confrontation. What do you think this is about?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that website was written before the internet. Secondly, so you had a knife on your belly.
Yeah.
We wanted to be careful that you wouldn't cut yourself because of the knife on your belly. My supposition to you is that the knife on your belly represents your belly, which is pregnant, and you got to be careful not to cut it because there's a baby there. And the reason that you feel that way is not because you're pregnant, but because your wife is pregnant. Your wife is about to have a baby.
Well, that would be pretty crazy. I mean, if that were to happen,
if your wife ends up becoming pregnant or in the next like 4 months, you need to it's Skills Cat in the chat. Don't forget the name. That's all I'm saying.
So you're thinking I should name my child Skills Cat?
No, no, no. I'm just saying that, you know, I want the credit for
you want the credit
before it happened.
So you think that this is me having a latent. A latent idea, some sort of animalistic connection with my wife that she's pregnant?
No, I think that you already know she's pregnant, but she hasn't told you she's pregnant yet, but you've already kind of sussed it out because you know each other so well.
Huh. I mean, that would be a shock to me. I mean, in my conscious, my subconscious might be way ahead of the game. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of reasons why that wouldn't be the case.
Okay, all right. Either that, or you're gonna get a dog. One or the other.
All right, come on. Wait a minute, Skills Cat. You can't just start sliding around on your impression like this. You're not going to fucking John Edward me. You're not going to cold read my ass on my own show.
It could be that you're going to get a bagel tomorrow morning.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, you just... God, Skills Cat, you fucked it all up. You fucked it up, man. You had a long shot that you called, but you can't hedge. You can't hedge. You can't go dog. You can't go bagel. Listen, either Ashley's pregnant in 4 months or you're wrong. But you want to know what? We're not going to remember this in 4 months. So either you're really right or nobody remembers this call.
I know. Anyway, see you later.
See you, buddy. Man, I feel like it took a little bit of time to get this call thing going. But now we got this call shit fucking rocking and rolling. Let's get to talking about why people hate journalists. I read this story today. This is on Deadspin. Y'all remember Deadspin, right? Deadspin is a one of them their websites. I don't know why I'm being weird about this. All right. So this is the headline. Video shows Virginia Tech women's lacrosse team chanting the N-word, calls it a teachable moment. All right. Now, when I first read this, the first thought that I had was, oh my God. Oh my God. These girls were just chanting the N-word? Like I mean, the worst thing that pops in my mind is like maybe, oh my God, were they like on a bus or something, like with a black person, and they were just screaming the N-word over and over and over again? Where they, was it maybe some sort of like fucked up you know, backwoods ass chant that they were going over, and they were just yelling it over and over and over again, like chanting it. Chanting's the thing, because if it's like hey, a chant is like, you deserve it. But instead of the claps, it's the N-word. Like that's a chant, you know? This is awesome. But then the N-word after it. But here's the actual story. A video of the Virginia Tech women's lacrosse team chanting the N-word while singing Freaky Friday by Lil Dicky was a teachable moment, head coach John Sung told the Roanoke Times. Oh, wait a minute. So they're not chanting it, right? They're singing the lyrics to this song. Now, surprisingly, or unsurprisingly, this song is called Freaky Friday by Lil Dicky. You want to know what? We'll get to that in a second. But we go on. The video was initially shared on Snapchat by an account under the name of the junior of the team. It's uploaded to YouTube on Sunday, and Sung released the statement about the video and granted an interview with the Times on Monday. This is a teachable moment, Sung told the Times. It's not something that we're proud of. The team is very apologetic and sorry. There's nobody of any color that should say it, period. There's nobody that should say it. All right. So now here's where I get upset with the way this is written. Because I think that there is an appropriate amount of shaming for this. If you post yourself yelling the N-word because you heard it on a song or singing along to a song with the N-word, you might catch some flack for it. Let alone if you are in some kind of public position. But there's no need to ratchet it beyond what it is. They should be shamed for recording themselves singing the N-word to a popular song. But the problem is that it's not lacrosse team sing song with the N-word in it gets busted. Boom. That should be the headline. Because that's appropriate for what they did. But Virginia Tech women's lacrosse team chants the N-word and then goes to the coach calling it a teachable moment. Now, all of a sudden, we have a whole nother narrative going on here. Now, the way it is written, it reads like this is a racist team doing something virulently racist and the coach excusing it. And that, I think, is a quibble for me. I think it's unfair to the girls, but I'm not necessarily going to cape too much up for them, because fuck it, whatever. They fucked it up, and now people are making them pay for it. Here is the thing that I do want to bring up. A person who shared the video, this is where the story goes. A person who shared the video on Twitter said that they received direct messages from a locked account purporting to be the player who had uploaded it to Snapchat with a request to delete the tweet. Shortly after Deadspin emailed that player about the DMs, that locked account was deleted. The player did not respond to a request for comment. Here are the screenshots of those DMs provided by the person who shared the video. And it just has this person pleading for somebody to take it down. Hi, I ask that you do not disclose what I am about to say to you because I am still so hurt and ashamed by the situation. As the girl with her name attached to this video, I please ask you to take it down. And she just says some boneheaded stuff in here. Like, I have two African-American adopted cousins in the athletic world, and I would never do anything to hurt them or anyone else. This video, yada, yada, yada. I just ask you to take it down. It really hurts. But, like, there's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 screen grabs of this person pleading with somebody else to take down this video. And I'm not saying that they should be paid any specific amount of attention. I'm just saying that running it is unnecessarily cruel to them. And I'm not, like, again, I don't want to make them out to be the victims. I'm just saying that this is why people hate journalists sometimes. Because there is an assumed power that a public platform has. And if you have no empathy to the people that are affected by it, then there is no other choice but there to be a resentment around it. So, like, letting these girls go, roasting these girls for saying the N-word on Snapchat, fine. I think it would be better off. I think it'd be fairer to them and to the situation if you put it in the proper context. And, you know, I think having the coach's comment there is representative of some other problems, specifically in the, like, no one should say it kind of thing. Fitzchiv says, would you have run the story? Yeah, I would have run the story. But I think just putting up the video and having that be that, if it was big enough to make the local paper, it's probably big enough to make a sports blog. But I don't think you need to put on display somebody twisting and turning and begging and pleading for it not to run. You can just say that we also got DMs of them pleading for it not to run. I just don't really know where that fleshes out any more of the story to me. But I do think that this makes it a more compelling story for some people, because ultimately it's grist for the mill of people who want to punch racism. Pow. Ah, they're racist. Pow. Ah, this coach is fucked up. Pow. Now, here's the other fucked up part. Is that I went to go listen to that song, Freaky Friday, by Lil Dicky. It's actually a pretty funny song. It's an interesting song. It basically is Lil Dicky, who, if you've never heard, he's a very talented rapper. He's great. He first came on my radar because he did a song and a video called "Save That Money," and it was about how cheap he is. And he went and shot the video on the set of other rappers' videos. So whenever somebody was shooting a video, he would go and, like, just use their set and their backup dancers just to shoot a part of his video, which I thought was really, really funny. And he would just go into, like, rich people's, front yards and just rap in front of their really, really nice car. Just shit like that. I thought it was a clever video. And this one's very, very clever as well. Chris Brown does a really good job. But basically, it's A Freaky Friday situation, like the original Disney movie, where Chris Brown is rapping as if Lil Dicky is in his body, and Lil Dicky is rapping as if Chris Brown is in his body, and they're realizing the good and bad things of what would happen if they were in each other's lives. One of those is Lil Dicky, the white guy, being in the black guy's body, realizing that he can now say the N-word. And so he says the N-word a lot, but it's Chris Brown saying it. It's a clever, fun idea that explores the complicated dynamics when it comes to language and race. A nuanced artistic statement that is totally blown out of the water when a bunch of white girls on a lacrosse team are singing it on a bus. Which, of course, leads us into our universally beloved segment of dating trends. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can send your dating trends into justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Here are some of the ones that we've gotten over the last week. When your possible steady refuses to answer any "what is this" question and instead plants a live insect into his or her salad, changing the conversation to how they keep eating bees in their food. This is called eating the bee. When your dream date statesman systematically convinces you that they're an artificial life form with a short 4-year lifespan. That's Blade Runnering. When you're about to go on a second date, but your possible bae keeps making excuses before you leave because he's identifying all the different size and colors of nails in your house and cataloging them by taste. That's called nail licking. When you're about to go on your first weekend trip with Mr. Right Angle, but before you leave, they tell you they've been having sex with all your friends named Vector. That's Vector Riding. And finally, when your dream date statesman systemically convinces you that they're an artificial life form with a short 4-year lifespan, only this time taking a lot longer and featuring slightly better acting, that's a Blade Runner 2049. This has been your weekly dating trend update. I'm Justin Robert Young. And of course, you can go ahead and keep sending me any dating trend you have. Just make sure you put jury in the subject line. In fact, you can email me about anything that you want. And we got a lot to talk about in this one. Neck tattoos, shitty tattoo artists, whether or not you ever trolled the Craigslist personal section. Whether or not my wife's pregnant. You can send all your thoughts there at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Paul wrote in, regarding last week's episode where you almost ate a bee in your salad, I was having some flashbacks because I actually did end up eating a bee when I was 8 years old. We were at a picnic, and unbeknownst to me, a bee had flown in my open can of soda. I took a drink, and the bee went in my mouth and stung me on the inside corner of my lip. Fortunately, she escaped before I swallowed her, but the corner of my lip was swollen enough for the next few days that I had trouble closing my mouth, and I've still got a small bump on the inside of my mouth from the sting. All that said, yeah, if the bee flew away, I probably would have kept eating your salad. Oh, good God. Jesus. Miles writes, "Hey, Jerry, your bee story reminded me of a experience I had in a Dutch bistro." God, that's a fucking strong way to start an email, huh? That's a strong way to start an email. It reminds me of an experience I had at a Dutch bistro. That's it. More of y'all should be fucking striving for excellence like Miles, who had a story to tell from a time at a Dutch bistro. "I was on vacation with my family and we rode bikes out of Amsterdam proper and into the countryside. As it was a beautiful day, we sat outside for lunch. The only downside was that the bald-faced hornets kept going after our food. My younger brother and myself were trying to swat them away without getting stung. That one point I managed to get a good smack on the edge of my table and I fell wounded to the ground. I watched to make sure it wasn't going... Oh, sorry, the bald-faced hornet fell wounded to the ground. I watched to make sure it wasn't going to regain flight and come after me. On the other side of this fallen insect, I noticed a man at the next table was looking at the insect, and then his eyes moved up to me. English was not his first language, so he chose his words carefully, looked me dead in the eye, and said, 'Do you have the nerve to finish the job?'" Oh, my God. This is the most fucking intense insect story I've ever heard in my life. Can you imagine a Dutch-accented man who just looks up in your eyes and says, "Do you have the nerve to finish the job?" I don't know why it's Sean Connery, but fucking go with it. "I suddenly felt as if everybody within earshot was waiting for my reaction. I got up, walked over to the hornet, and perhaps overdramatically stomped on it. I looked back to the man, and he simply gave me a nod. Everyone then went back to their meals without another word said. Not much to add to the story except that you should go to Amsterdam if you get the chance. It's a fun little city." That is the fucking most metal story about killing a bug I have ever fucking heard ever. That man challenged your masculinity. Challenged the nerve. Do you have the nerve to end this bug's suffering? You have already doomed him to eternity. Do you have the scrote to swing the axe and bring him to his maker? And you did. Oh, I just want to hear some black metal behind that. Just, you have finally taken the steps you need, and now you are the new savior of Earth. All right, I'm not going to lie, guys. I feel like the Jerry Show has been kind of without a purpose over the last couple months. I feel like we found it. I feel like we found it this episode. I am so in love with this episode. I'm very excited for everybody to listen to it. I'm very excited that you guys were here to see it. I'm very excited that we got the calls that we got today. My wife got pregnant, apparently, on the phone. Oh, my good God. Do you have the nerve to finish the job? Holy shit! Why is there more here left to see? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get free stickers, you can sign up for our stickers or DIAF mailing list, bit.ly/stickers or DIAF. And a reminder that we are out of patches, sold out of the Diamond Club patches. But we do have about 10 more of the Diamond Club pin sets. So if you want those, then head on over to stickers or DIAF.com right now. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put Jury in the subject line. Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Justin R. Young. I'm doing more Insta stories now if you want to check those out. And, of course, join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Folks, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young reminding you, as always, to please don't you think you have had enough?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.